This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to amend conditional use number 705 to allow for an expansion of an existing campground to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 21.93 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the southwest side of Coastal Highway, which is Route 1, approximately 0.7 mile north of Broadkill Road, which is Route 16. The 911 address is 12984 Coastal Highway and 13177 Eagles Nest Trail, Milton. And the tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 8, parcels 35.02, 35.03. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklets and materials. We have a copy of the staff analysis. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter. And I would note that we have received two written comments which are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse.
Just an observation that the Dyer family can clear out a room. There's nobody left.
Don't take it personally.
Yeah,
that's right.
You've been to some of those too.
And who is representing this application here today? Mr. Dyer?
Madam Chair, members of the commission, my name is Preston Dyer. I'm a member of Campground Holdings, LLC. With me today is Mason Dyer, who's involved in the ownership and management of the campground, and Mark Davidson of Pannoni. As way of background, we entered into the contract in 2023 to purchase Deep Ranch Campground, recognizing that the property consisted of just under 20 acres, and there was a year-to-year lease for the 10-acre parcel to the south. The 10-acre parcel you are familiar with because there was a preliminary and now a final approval for an assisted living facility on approximately 5 acres of C1 ground. Interestingly enough, the camp clubhouse, pool, and office encroached outside the 5 acres and onto a portion of the additional 5 acres, which was zoned AR1. The result of that was Pastor Sammons had owned all of the property previously, and the original, as you're aware, the original conditional use for this property goes back to 1982. It was actually CU705. When we entered to the contract, we were monitoring the progress of the assisted living project. And at the point that it appeared that that was going to occur, we then went back to Bill Sammons Jr., who was residing in the residence where he and his wife and Pastor Bill Sammons had lived together. We added the additional 2-acre parcel in anticipation of the loss of the amenities and related uses on the 10 acres. The lease was extended for 1 year, and now the lease has not been extended, thereby rendering the move to the additional 2 acres to be fortuitous for us. So we did settle in 2024. We settled on the property with the Sammons. We want to just go on record as saying that as developers, we certainly have no problems whatsoever, recognize the ability of the adjoining property to construct an assisted living facility on that property. And in that regard, as part of the record, we have a excellent relationship with Eagles Nest Church. They, in fact, supplied 2 letters of support that I believe are in the packet before you, one from the administrative pastor and one from the head pastor. So in summation, this application seeks to replace and to restore the uses, the structures, the activities that were present on the adjoining 10-acre parcel. We are seeking to add a 2-acre parcel, which was originally the Salmon's residential parcel, to conditional use 705 for Deep Branch Campground. As you may be aware, the original campground was the starting point for Pastor Salmon's and his wife Mary Jane to formulate what later became Eagle's Nest Church. It's a well-known church, certainly a dominant church in Sussex County. As you know, the present Delmarva Christian Lower School enjoys the campus facility. And the well-known church, Crossroads, was a church plant from Eagle's Nest. So I've been very blessed to have a relationship over the years with Pastor Salmon's, as has Mark Davidson, and we've in fact had master planned the entire property many times. And we've allowed the development and the acquisition of this campground to seek to honor the legacy of Pastor Bill, his wife Mary Jane, and Bill Jr. The plans include a clubhouse, a campground store, snack bar, office, and/or residence for management, pool, deck seating, and an open-air pavilion. We are also adding an additional 1-acre parcel, which I believe is depicted on the site plan, which was deeded to us by Eagle's Nest Church. This commission put a requirement on that assisted living facility to accommodate the existing on-site septic system for the campground. So in order to protect that, a portion of the system is located on that 1 acre, and the Eagle's Nest did deed that to us in satisfaction of the condition that was put on that project by this commission. The campground, as we are seeking to expand, is bordered by parcel 3509, which is Tim and Pam Parker. We will fence that parcel in accordance with the staff's recommendations. It's also bordered by Route 1 with the 2-acre parcel, which will have a limited access, also in accordance with the staff's recommendations. There will be a knock box gate provided, and Mr. Davidson will provide the details thereof. On the north, it is bordered by Milton Crossing, a subdivision that I secured the original contract for that and then went through with the subdivision. And that was in an effort in Pastor Bill's later years to consolidate his real estate holdings, as well as Bill Jr.'s. Eventually, we purchased the remaining real estate, as you know, which is the campground. We did that before Pastor Bill went home to be with the Lord. I do want to point out that there is no vehicular or pedestrian access between the Milton Crossing project, residential project, and the campground project. There is, in fact, the Deep Branch Creek and a large expanse of wetlands that prohibits any interconnectivity. On the west, the campground is bordered by agricultural uses, and on the south, as I explained before, is the assisted living facility. We recognize not only the right for them to develop, but the fact that the new building as proposed would consist of approximately a 40-foot building and a retaining wall that will border the campground property. Tim and Pam Parker, the owners of parcel 3509, have managed the campground for many years for the Sammons family. They've also been managing it for us, and we plan to have them continue to manage the campground. Mason Dyer, our son, is responsible for the interface of the management of the campground by Pam and Tim Parker. And at this time, Mr. Davidson of Pannoni will provide the details of the application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Now, for the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm the principal land planner for Pannoni Associates, located just outside of Milton, Delaware. And Mr. Dyer kind of stole a lot of my thunder on this, but I'll try to keep this short and not try to be repetitive.
We like that.
So I'll move to, so he explained the property and the location of the property and the two parcels that we're trying to add, that we would like to add to the existing campground. This is conditional use 705. It was approved back in 1982 as a resolution, there was a condition that was placed. One condition was placed on that particular application at that time, and that was for the for Mr. Sammons or Pastor Sammons to be able to get a letter from the Department of the Interior for a flowage easement that happens to lie within the property to allow the campground. That would have no negative effect to that flowage easement. Right there on the side, there are two letters that are in the planning and zoning file, because that's where I got them from. And there's ones from the Department of the Interior talking about that flowage easement, and then the one on the left there is from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers talking about the wetlands, and then about the ability to be able to flow water from the campground naturally into those wetlands. They had no objection as well. So the conditional use number 705 was approved for 150 campsites for the overnight mobile campers, tent, camp trailers, touring vans, and the like. That's how the code specifies campgrounds in 115-172H. And the campground was improved to have campsites, cabins, central water, and a wastewater. It had a camp store, an office, in-ground swimming pool, bathhouses, playground, maintenance yard. It had a chapel, and has been operating, as Mr. Dyer stated, for about 43 years. The addition of the two properties improved with the existing dwelling and the septic systems will provide for the purpose of the uses intended primarily compatible with an existing campground, and as outlined in section 115-172H. The house right now is sitting on parcel 3502, and it does have an existing septic system itself. And then on parcel 3503, as part of that condition that was, or a stipulation that was planted on the Eagle's Nest assisted facility, was we had to provide for no negative impacts to the campground. So we had to look at the on-site wastewater for the campground fairly heavily. And we took a look at that and move on over here to the site plan. On the site plan, I kind of indicate what has been relocated as part of those 10 acres being developed with the assisted living facility. I kind of outlined the assisted living facility on that back 5 acres. That back 5 acres is actually zoned C1, general commercial. The front 5 acres was zoned AR1. That's where this 1 acre piece here is. We discovered that there's an existing septic system located on that 1 acre. That's why it was 1 acre here was deeded over to the campground by Eagle's Nest Ministries. Existing septic system serves the uses on the campground. The primary wastewater facility sits right here in this area, and you can see we've got these areas demarcated with the existing on-site wastewater facility. The access coming in has a dump station located and a pump station there. So all the wastewater for the campsites come down to this dump station comes up to here. There are some uses that access and use the existing septic system located on this 1 acre here. As a part of the, I'll come down here to the, these these arrows. The arrows are a little, I'll go back up to here. If you look at this, this 10 acres here, what was part of the, that was you being utilized with the campground, you can see this is the old camp office, store, community center for the campground. You can see the property line came right through the building there. When this property was being planned for the assisted living, that building got torn down, and then there's the swimming pool there. And then today, with the in 2020, with the building being removed, all that's left there is the in-ground pool, which will be demolished as part of the assisted living. So our application is asking, we're granting to bring in the 2 acres, bring into this 2 acres here and this 1 acre here to be able to relocate. I blew up the 2 acres here. You can see here's the existing house. There's an existing access, and I'll get to that existing access coming off of Route 1 in just a minute. But here's the new clubhouse pool, and pool area here. So the pool, the clubhouse, everything here. Because, you know, this campground was part of the ministry that Pastor Bill started, the ministry is going to continue. So what we wanted to do was typical campground activities. You know, once you park your campground, then it's just foot traffic and golf carts going around. But on occasions when it's, you know, the weather's not conducive and it's bad weather, what we were planning on doing is we added some parking here so that they could access the community building, the, you know, the, you know, and the existing house, which is, you know, slated for the manager's office, a manager's residence. Right now, the manager, there was a place on the site that used to have an existing mobile home and in a camper that the manager stayed in at that particular time. But this house could be used for the manager's house, the office, business office, activities, and then the clubhouse and the pool is going to be relocated to that particular site. If this application is approved, that boundary line here is going to disappear. This 2 acre parcel will merge right into this property here, and it'll become one big parcel. So just some, you know, some housekeeping items with this application. The 2045 future land use map, in the comprehensive plan, the property is identified for the purposes as a low density area. As an existing developing area and low density area. This 1 acre happens to be in an existing developing area where the 2 acre parcel here is in a low density area. So these areas that include are, you know, promote a quiet and private environment with more space and preserving natural habitats in place primarily for fostering close-knit social atmosphere among campers, enhance privacy for campers alongside. So in, you know, in the comprehensive plan, the low density area and the developing area kind of spells out that those activities are, you know, are what is what can be used for in those types of areas in the comprehensive plan. The 2020 Delaware strategies for state policies and spending shows this as a level 4. The Dyers aren't going to be asking for any state money to do this. They're going to fund this all themselves. This conditional use is subject to the provisions of Articles 4 through 24, Sections 115 through 22 of the Zoning Code. And we know that the purpose of the conditional use is to provide for these certain uses which cannot otherwise be well adjusted to their environment in a particular location, with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application and district regulations. The subject application being submitted to the county is to request that we add to 3.01 acres, more or less, as an addition to the existing campgrounds, conditional use 705 under Article 24, 115, 172H, which is Parker campgrounds for mobile campers, tents, camp trailers, touring vans, and the like. And it's for the purpose of the residence in an office for the park manager, meeting area, and small retail businesses, clubhouse, and pool, intended primarily for the occupants of the campground. All are similar uses and appropriate to the conditional use 705. The addition of these lands will not increase the area. So adding these over the above what was approved for conditional use 705, The area for 705 was approved for 22.5 acres. Over the years, that decreased when Bill Sammons Jr., this was part of it, this 3 acres was deeded over, and he built his house on this particular land here. This is where the Mr. and Mrs. Parker, Mr. Dyer explained that that's the couple that's managing the campground now. They purchased this from Bill Sammons Jr. So that was taken out of the conditional use previously. By us adding our 3 acres back in, we're at 21.93, where the original application was 22.5 acres. The proposed use will not alter the character of the surrounding area in any manner that substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of the surrounding properties and is compatible with the surrounding low-density uses, which include residential, commercial, institutional, agricultural, and recreational areas. Through the existing conditional use 705, which controls factors like the number of campsites, road width, setbacks, building locations that preserve the character of the community and prevent interference with existing uses. So as I stated, the adjacent property, parcel 3509, is owned by the Parkers, which manage the campground. So one of the comments that I noticed in the staff report, concerns, and I wanted to address one of those concerns, was is to ensure privacy and protection of this property, which is 3509. The Dyers will place a privacy fence along their respective properties to provide a visual screen and buffer between the adjacent properties and to minimize adverse and visual and noise impacts from the adjacent campground. So our proposal is to place a fence along this section of the of their property here and along this section here as one of the concerns that staff brought up in their letter. The properties and the use will have access to the existing campground access to Zion Church Road, which is classified as a local road according to DLDOT's Highway Functional Classification Map. Right-of-way dedications and permanent easement dedications have been dedicated. And they were dedicated as part of the assisted living process. So the campground has an existing access easement that it has been granted to them over the years that comes up from Zion Church Road. It's a recorded deed easement. It's 50 feet wide, and it comes up to the back of the property here, just like it does today. That's their access. That will be the primary access for the addition of these two properties for the campground. So, however, the existing access, and again, the existing access off of Zion Church will be the primary access for the campground and the associated amenities. And that was another comment that was brought up by staff about a concern about additional traffic trying to access off of Route 1. So what we're proposing to present to DLDOT and get approval from DLDOT is you use the existing driveway as an emergency access only for emergency services. We'll gate it, we'll put a Knox box on it, and that will be access for emergency services. So that way there's an alternate way of leaving this site in case there's an accident, there's something blocking the access for emergency purposes. We would like to be able to keep that access out there on Coastal Highway for that emergency access. And it will be controlled by the management of the campground so that no campers will be able to have access through that access to Coastal Highway. All their campers, all traffic will come down through the existing entrance that's on Zion Church Road. The conditional, DLDOT felt that the proposed conditional use would not adversely affect the congestion of the roads. They deemed this to be diminutive in the context of the agreement between Sussex County, and they also didn't require a traffic impact study for this application. There are wetlands on the property, as Mr. Dyer indicated. The wetland delineation has been shown along this portion of there's no wetlands on the subject properties that are part of this application being added to this. There are no threatened or endangered species on the properties being added to this to this campground. There's no need for public water for this application. Parcel 3502 has an existing well permitted through Denerex serving the existing dwelling. The existing campground currently has an existing commercial well servicing the property. The commercial well is protected by wellhead protection ordinance that does not encroach within the boundaries of the applications before you. So there is an existing commercial well that's located approximately this area here, and then the wellhead protection is the 150-foot buffer that goes around the existing commercial well. Because it is a commercial well, it does have that wellhead protection on there. The existing on-site wastewater disposal systems. Those are monitored on a five-year basis by a licensed wastewater treatment operator, and that operator submits reports to Denerec on a yearly basis, but every 5 years that permit gets updated by Denerec for this campground. The 1 acre portion of this property here, part of 3503, does lie within an excellent groundwater recharge area, and any disturbance within the portion of this property will follow Chapter 89 Source Water Protection Code criteria. Right now, though, it's on that 1 acre. There's no plans to do anything with it right now except to keep it as possibly a spare area for septic, but there is the existing septic system sitting up there in that upper corner of that 1 acre. This 1 acre here is in a Zone X outside the 500-year floodplain. Zone AE with an elevation 8 comes up along and touches, just barely touches the outer edge of this parcel here, thought I could blow that up and I can't. I'm not at my CAD computer. As you can see, that the contouring of that is well above elevation 8. Elevation 8 kind of falls along and down and through here. So a letter of map amendment could be done to kind of bring that parcel out of zone AE. But the house and everything is still, all the improvements will be outside of the 100-year floodplain. The property is located in the Milton Fire Department service area. And I did submit some conditions of approval, and this project will be subject to those conditions of approval. However, I did add one extra condition on here based on the comment that was provided through the staff recommendation here, and that was I added the condition permanent opaque fence at least 6 feet in height shall be erected per the requirements of the current code and maintained along the property of parcel 3509 to provide a visual screen and buffer between the adjacent properties. And if I may, I'd like to. All the other conditions match what I had submitted previously in the hearing exhibit booklet. Again, I want to just state that this conditional use shall allow the properties to be used for the campgrounds, for mobile campers, tents, campers, camp trailers, touring vans, and the like, and the residence and office for the park manager, meaning the area and small retail businesses, clubhouse, pool, intended primarily for the occupants of the campground, and also these parcels will be used for any utilities as needed necessary for safe operation of the campground. And with that, the proposed conditional use meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance, being located in an appropriate location, meaning the purpose of this district and the comprehensive plan, by providing sufficient space and appropriate locations for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment in particular locations, with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations, which is essential, desirable, the general convenience, orderly growth, prosperity, and welfare of the county. And with that, that is my presentation. And myself, along with the.
You were trying really hard to get some of that thunder back.
Yep, I did. I did. I tried.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. We'll see if anyone has any questions from the commission, and we'll start with Mr. Passwaters.
None at this time.
Okay, Mr. Collins.
I have a couple of questions. Not a huge deal, but I don't know that the schedule for operation was posted anywhere in the original approval. Is this open year-round?
Yes.
So it is open year-round.
Absolutely. Yes.
It looks like it's mostly permanent sites as well. Is that true? Are most of the sites permanent?
You need to come up to the, if you please.
There's a
variation throughout the
campground,
yes.
All right. Thank you very much. I don't think I have any other questions. I'm just wondering, would it make sense to incorporate that as conditions so that if this were reviewed in the future, it would be in black and white that this was a permitted, like that had essentially been an approved.
That it's year round?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll look at that, because I think that's good intentioned, but since this is an addition to 705, I want to look at if we open up 705, we open up other cans of worms that we don't mean to. I don't know that that's the case, but I'll take a look at that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Mr. Allen?
The only question I have is the 1 acre land. You said it's got an original septic system on it, and I guess that's a standard gravity fed system.
Oh, which?
It's on there, on the 1 acre.
On the 1 acre, yes. Yeah. That's standard gravity, and the topography happens to kind of flow that way. So.
All right, and so it's like it's been tested, so it's okay to.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yes.
All right, that's anything.
Good. Anything else? Okay. Talking about the conditions, we need to make sure that if this does get approved, that there's a condition added regarding the entrance off of Route 1 for emergency use only. I don't see that in here.
Yeah.
Just so we include that. Okay, anybody have anything else, staff? No, Mr.
Just one, well, two, I mean, going back to Mr. Collins' comment, because the conditional use 705 is like 40 some years old at this point, I don't know, you know, that there's things that would apply to that maybe wouldn't apply if it was a new application. That's why I don't know about adding something to that part of the campground since we're not touching it. We'll see if we could do that, because I understand the concern about that where people mm-hmm. have issues with other campgrounds that are new ones, for example, that essentially become more manufactured home communities than campgrounds. Here we have an existing one that's been in place for 40 years. It's obviously providing housing for folks that's established. And I think your point is to try to document that, you know, so.
Yes. So to avoid future trouble for
everybody.
Everyone, yeah.
Right.
Just a question. This really has not anything to do so much with yours. I'm just curious, have you gotten any feedback on the Del Dot entrance to Route 1? Because Del Dot has been oddly anti-common sense on, you know, just alternate means of access before, you know. This just seems like such a perfect opportunity for that because it's
right.
an existing entrance.
Yeah,
we've done on other projects, and I'm not asking this in terms of yours or not, but more other projects where, you know, there's
pushback.
We've gotten pushback on that, and it just, you know, defies logic a lot of times.
So we got, you know, we had to do some lot line adjustments to parcel 3502, and we had to subdivide this out of the 10-acre parcel.
Right.
So in the record, and I did supply that, you know, I believe it's under either, I think, tab 2.
Mm-hmm.
Letters of no objections from DelDOT. So when we had to make these lot line adjustments, we made them to 3502 and to the Parker's property where we added land to them. We kind of shifted some lot lines around. At that time, we also submitted a service level evaluation request. At no time did they say that they wanted us to abandon that access.
Okay.
So they knew that the access was there. They knew that we were coming in for the campground or adding the parcel to the
right.
campground. Have we had our major pre-development or our pre-coordination meeting with DelDOT yet?
Right.
No, we haven't done that. I've just gone through those preliminary steps
right.
to be able to adjust property lines and to get the service level put together.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the service level, we do see where if we have an existing entrance, they do mention that they would like to see that entrance closed,
right.
but they didn't mention it in this particular one. So, but our goal is to, you know, again, is to try to get this for emergency, to be able to have this as an emergency access.
Yeah, that totally, that makes sense. But, you know, making it a regular entrance, it seems like DelDOT would have wanted that
right.
removed.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, if this is acted favorably upon, I don't want, you know,
yeah.
to get jammed up if DelDOT says close it either, you know.
Probably end up having to get, like, a letter of no contention.
Yeah.
You know, if this moves through and everything gets approved, I'll have to go back to DelDOT for my site plan, for final
right.
site plan. I'll have to go back to DelDOT again and
yeah.
we'll have those conversations.
I can't imagine they would have I know they've been
yeah,
bored with it, but.
We've felt that before.
I know, you're right. But with having a lockbox and everything there
yeah.
too, I mean, it's.
I hope they do. I mean, because it makes sense, you know.
Be crazy if they
emergency access or if for some reason, you know, like I was thinking on a condition it would be, because you had said no campers or RVs could use that. And I was thinking that it should be could use that unless in case of an emergency, you know, just.
Well, if evacuation,
that's what I mean.
Like that, yeah, but yes, yeah, that's yeah. What, you know, we're, right. We're looking to kind of gear that towards more of an evacuation right. And emergency services and, yeah. You know, but it's not going to be a standard commercial entrance right. For comings and going. Well, matter of fact, they want everybody to funnel through Zion Church because they got to be able to check in and
right.
Do that.
Right,
yeah. So that's the.
And trust me, I'm not asking this question really just with, because what you proposed makes sense. It's just more to gauge your experience with DelDOT in light of experiences right. The commission's had before, that's all, you know.
Yep. There is, if I may, there is a published document. So DelDOT in the last 12 months have published a document for the entire capacity corridor preservation program showing a whole host of reconfigurations of existing entrances, crossovers being closed, and that's available online. I haven't checked it for this parcel. I don't know if Mr. Davidson has, but it's this isn't one of the affected parcels, is it, where that?
There is a proposed service road plan, but it stops, I believe the service road stops right here at the Parker's property. Yeah. There is a, with that new overpass that they've put mm-hmm. in at Route 16, they have put a service road, they do plan a service road, and it does.
I think they're trying to terminate it before it hits wetlands.
Right. So, they're
good.
They're not going to be taking that across the... But I can tell you that the elder, Mr. Dyer, he loves having meetings with DelDOT. So sure, in his
that's
future,
a good challenge.
We all do.
Mr. Dyer.
Mr. Whitehouse, did you? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all I had. Okay. Thanks.
Did you have something?
No, that was it. Thank you.
That was it. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. If you'd like to have a seat, we'll see if anybody has an interest in your application. I don't think there is, but we have to ask. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2586, Preston and Mason Dyer?
Not unless they're taking a nap back there.
Anybody here that would like to speak in opposition? Okay, there being none, any other comments? Okay, we'll close the public hearing.